Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Amen. Thus far we read the word of God. Our theme is the priority of the word of the Lord. The priority of the word of the Lord. Often it is said, we're all different. Everyone's different. And of course, that is true. In the sense that personalities vary greatly, and of that there is no doubt. But sin is universal. The need of salvation is universal. The need of the renewing of the Holy Ghost to bring us to faith in the Lord Jesus is universal. The sovereignty of God in giving or withholding that new birth applies to all. And God's law, as defining right and wrong, is universal. It defines the basis of the condemnation of those without Christ. And it defines the path of holiness, which those who are sanctified in Christ Jesus desire to walk in. Now, much is made of the differing temperaments of Martha and Mary. It is often pointed out that in John 11, which we read earlier on, Martha ran to meet the Lord Jesus while Mary sat still in the house, John 11, verse 20. And likewise here, Martha is active, Mary is passive. It is argued that here we have two different temperaments. And that may well be true. But there is a fixed law of the Lord that is applicable to all, of whatever temperament. And that also is true. There is a single standard of right and wrong. So that whether our temperament is active or passive, whether we are inclined to fieriness or inclined to placidity, whatever our particular personality is, there is the Word of God, and it applies to us all. There is a biblical standard to which we all ought to conform. Particular personalities may incline and be more vulnerable to particular sins, sinful activity or sinful inactivity. But there is one standard of right and wrong. Sin is the transgression of God's law. Righteousness is conformity to that law. That is applicable to all. So let us not reduce this to a mere study of personality profiles, but see where the universal distinction of sin and righteousness lies in this passage and in this incident. First of all, no encouragement to laziness. No encouragement to laziness. Mary was not doing nothing. Mary was not doing nothing. It may well be that Martha and Mary were expecting the Lord and his disciples to come, and that they had both been busy before this. There is also, of course, a place for rest of body and mind in Mark chapter 6, verse 31. And he, that's the Lord Jesus, said unto them, come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while, for there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. There is a place for rest of body and mind. But in this case, Mary wasn't resting. She was doing something. She was listening, sat at the feet, listening to the Lord Jesus Christ. Nor was Martha's commitment to hospitality wrong in itself. The scripture speaks in many places of the duty of Christian hospitality. 1 Peter 4, verse 9. Use hospitality one toward another without grudging. The elders of the church are to exemplify what should be true of all God's people. They are to be given to hospitality. 1 Timothy 3, 2. Lovers of hospitality, Titus 1 and verse 8. They are to entertain strangers even, Hebrews 13 and verse 1. So Mary wasn't doing nothing. Martha's commitment to hospitality in itself was a good thing. And as to daily labor, the scriptures speak of it very clearly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 11. And that ye study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we commanded you. And in 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, now them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread. Or in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So Mary wasn't doing nothing. Martha's commitment to hospitality in itself was right. The obligation of daily labour is clear in the scriptures. 6 days shalt thou labour and do all thy work. This passage then gives no support to an idle and supposedly contemplative life. Certainly a life that is all bustle, with no time to think, no time to meditate, no time to reflect upon God's word and distill its truth in our minds, is not to be encouraged. But a life of sloth is not to be encouraged either. Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 6, we've read these verses as we've been reading through the book of Proverbs in our morning services. Proverbs 6 verse 6, go to the ant, thou sluggard, consider her ways and be wise. And then in verse 9, how long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travelleth, and thy want as an armed man. Or in chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 26, as vinegar to the teeth and as smoke to the eyes, so is the sluggard to them that send him. And there are other passages beside. So a life of laziness is not encouraged in this passage. But then secondly, active life fueled by the word. Active life fueled by the word. So firstly, no encouragement to laziness. Secondly, active life fueled by the word. Verse 39, and she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. We learn here that the good must not override the best. The good must not override the best or the essential. Mary was hearing the Lord Jesus. The obligations of hospitality did not override that essential thing of hearing the word of the Lord. Did Martha really think that getting the meal up to scratch was more important than listening to the Lord Jesus Christ, who in the fulfillment of the Father's good pleasure was speaking? Christ was speaking. God manifest in the flesh was speaking, teaching the truth. Christ is no longer physically, bodily among us, but he speaks through his ministers whenever they faithfully expound his word. Christ would have settled for plainer fare, and so indeed with all his true ministers, rather than that any should be absent from hearing the ministry of the word. Never let Christian hospitality prevent attendance at Sabbath worship. settle for less we find eats sooner than be absent from the worship of God and hearing God's word read and proclaimed. Whether looking after a visiting minister or other Christian friends, they should not expect that you should miss out on the word of God simply to upgrade the cuisine. Mortify domestic pride if need be. Scale down, but let the worship of God and the hearing of the word be unhindered. We do nothing right if we neglect the word of God. We do nothing right if we neglect God's word. We neglect that which is instrumental in increasing that faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And our motive in hospitality, in labor, in recreation, in all things, will shrivel from zeal for God to empty show if we neglect the word of God. Neglect the word of the Lord, and nothing will be right. Our parched souls will go through the motions as before, but with neither joy nor love in them. Thirdly, justifying neglect and a critical spirit. Justifying neglect and a critical spirit. Verse 40. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. Martha was a godly woman. That's obvious. In John 11, she loved the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're told that the Lord Jesus loved her and her sister. And Lazarus, the brother, is referred to as he whom thou lovest. His love for that household was evident, so that when Jesus wept at the grave of Lazarus, some said, see how he loved him. But the holiest of men and women can justify their faults at the expense of those who at this point are right. Mary was right. The Lord Jesus was speaking. She sat at his feet. She listened. She was right. Not as one who neglected duty to God in the home in this case, but because when the Lord Jesus was speaking, she listened. Martha could have had a volley of arguments. There's so much to do, and she's just sitting there. She could have said, I believe in a practical faith. But the one thing needful when Christ was speaking was to listen. Do you justify your neglect of the word of God in the home, in the church, with the defence of busyness, even in lawful things. I'm so busy. If you're too busy for God's word, then you're too busy. What are you going to do about it? If there's no space to hear the Lord speaking in the public ordinances, or in the home, or in private, what are you going to do about it? How are you going to put it right? Because you must. There is something that you think that is essential that is not essential. And if you neglect the word, nothing will be done right, as we've said. Do you condemn those who give due attention to the word of God as impractical, out of touch people? If they neglect known duty, then the charge is true. If they, under the guise of spiritual mindedness, become sluggards and layabouts and indifferent and negligent of practical obligation, then the charge is true. But if they are simply seizing the opportunity with diligence to hear the word of the Lord, then it's not true. It's you that's wrong. It's you that's justifying your neglect of God's word on the grounds of supposed practicality. There's nothing practical about neglecting the word of God. Neglecting appointed ordinances where the Lord speaks through his word. And what is more, your withered soul and your stifled conscience tell you that this is the case. Fourthly, the eternal reality of the work of the Lord. The eternal reality of the work of the Lord. Verse 41, and Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The better part was the listening to Christ. Now, in what sense does Christ say it will not be taken away? There are some who say that it simply means that Christ was not going to accede to Martha's request, that he was not going to do what Martha wanted. He was not going to tell her, don't just sit and listen, go and help Martha. And that's certainly true. He wasn't going to do that. He didn't do that. Not because he would not, if Mary were really negligent in some way, but she wasn't. Given that he was speaking, she was right. But although that is true, that Christ was not going to, as it were, take away from her that particular opportunity to hear his word, we believe that it goes beyond that. That it's referring to the fact that Christ's doctrine bears eternal fruit when it is received. That Mary, listening to Christ by the blessing of the Spirit, increasing in faith and in love toward the Saviour, that that would bear fruit of eternal significance, that it would bear fruit in a God, an increase in godliness. But you might say, isn't that true of what Martha was doing? She was engaged in the work of the Lord. Would not this care of Christ and his disciples be recognized at the day of judgment and in the eternal world? After all, are we not told that the one who gives a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple shall in no wise lose his reward? Would not Martha's labor, would it not be acknowledged and receive a gracious acknowledgement and reward in the world to come? Not because our works earn us acceptance with God. We are justified by the merits of Christ imputed to us. But the Lord is pleased to acknowledge and reward, graciously reward, the work of his Spirit in us and the effects of that in godliness. So can we not say that Martha's efforts were the work of the kingdom and therefore of eternal significance? Well, no doubt much that Martha did could be seen in that light, but only so far as motivated by love to Christ. And here Martha had strayed. She'd lost her priorities. She was doing what would be right, but at the wrong time, because the Master was speaking. She should have known. She should have reverenced the Lord Jesus Christ and realized that if he saw fit to speak at that time, her place was to listen. But the prophet Mary would receive from listening, doing the right thing at the right time, listening when Christ was speaking, that prophet would endure. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. Mary was profiting from the word of the Lord. Mary was laying up treasure in heaven. Martha, her hospitality was ripe, but not while Christ was speaking and declaring his truth. Hospitality is a right thing, and Christians should be hospitable. But Martha was trying to be hospitable when Christ was speaking, and that was her fault. So what Mary got, the prophet from the word, it wouldn't make her less hospitable, because the truth doesn't do that. But the profit, the benefit, the increase in faith and in holiness would have everlasting repercussions. Well, we can apply this very simply in two ways. First of all, make sure that there is space in your life for the word of God. We don't mean make space for the application of the Word of God. That should be taking place in the whole of our lives. Everything should be subject to the Word. But we must make space for hearing, learning, studying, meditating upon, praying for the enlightenment of the Holy Spirit upon the Word of God. There must be space for the Word of the Lord, for hearing it read and preached in public, for the reading of it and explanation of it in our families, and for the private use of it on our own. This is not time wasted. Every one of us needs the Word of God. It is the one thing needful. It is through the Word of God we come to know Christ. It's through the Word of God that we come to know Him better. It's through the Word of God that our faith is built up. It is through the Word of God that we learn what is right and how to serve the Lord in this world, in all our different capacities, whether as individuals or as fathers, as mothers, as husbands, as wives, as children, as brothers, sisters, in the workplace or whatever. We need the Word of the Lord. Make sure you are profiting from the Word of God and growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. But then one second thing. Have you begun to listen to Christ? Have you begun to listen to the Lord Jesus in the Holy Scriptures? Martha wavered here, but she did listen, even though rebuked. She did listen to Christ. And I think John 11 bears that out. She listened to Christ. In this case, she wasn't listening when she should have been listening. But she did listen. She was a faulty listener, as we all are. But she was a listener, nonetheless. Well, have you begun to listen to Christ? Oh, but you say, well, I read the Bible, I go to church. But are you taking any notice of the Word of God? Do you hear Christ willingly, or is it just a duty to be done? You've read your piece, tick it off. You've gone to the service, tick that off as well. Are you profiting? Do you accept what Christ says heartily, willingly, even when he speaks against you? When he speaks of your sin, when he speaks of what your sin deserves, in that place where their worm dieth not and their fire is not quenched. Do you say, yes, he's right, he's right, he's right? Or do you say, oh no, I'm not going to have this? Have you begun to listen to Christ? What he says about you, your sin, your desert, everlasting condemnation. And have you listened when he says, I am the light of the world. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you say, yes, yes, he's right? Or do you say, well, I'm not so sure about that? Can all these other people be wrong? Well, yes, they can, and they are. Have you begun to listen to Christ, to depend upon him, to take away your dreadful guilt before God? Have you said ever, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? Have you learned to see yourself as a sinner, as dependent upon the mercy of God, and to trust Jesus Christ, the only Saviour of sinners? Martha was not a perfect listener, but she was a listener. And so in John chapter 11, verse 27, she saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Hear then, and your soul shall live. Amen. Let us pray. O gracious and eternal God, how we bless thee for the Holy Scriptures, that thou hast not left us in darkness, but that thy word has dropped toward us, that thou hast given to us the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make us wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, and to thoroughly furnish the man of God unto all good works. Grant that we might seize hold of thy truth with eagerness, with alacrity, with zeal, as the word of the Lord, which endureth forever, that we might receive that truth day by day and Sabbath by Sabbath, and that we might live by the word of the Lord, that we might, through the comfort of the Scriptures, have good hope through grace, that we might be built up in our most holy faith by the blessing of thy Holy Spirit upon the word of the Lord that endureth forever. These things we ask, O God, in Christ's name. Amen.